Hi, this is Donna Shapley, and I thank you so much for joining me today as we continue reading from the November issue of Cincinnati Magazine. Today I would like to begin and conclude the feature story for the November issue, Cincinnati versus Kentucky. First up, my life as a Kentucky Buckeye. Raised in Northern Kentucky, with a majority of my adult life spent in Ohio, which side do I tie my identity to? By Judy Kettler. When my dad was in the Army in the 1950s, no one could ever guess where he was from. When he told them Kentucky, his fellow soldiers never believed him. I suspect he liked the subterfuge of being from Northern Kentucky, the payoff of surprise that someone with such Midwestern anonymity hailed from a state that was mostly a caricature and an accent. I get it, because I have a similar relationship with my Northern Kentucky roots. I sometimes like to slyly drop into conversations that I'm actually a Kentucky girl, as if I had a childhood traipsing on the bluegrass, not riding my bicycle out the Dixie Highway to buy records and candy bars at the local shopping center. I spent the first 22 years of my life in Fort Wright, the same city where my dad grew up. With my 45th birthday this year, I've now officially lived in Ohio longer than Kentucky. I should be collecting Buckeyes, not conjuring up ideas about the bluegrass. But the poetic timbre of that word, bluegrass, makes me want to recite Wendell Berry poems. This idea of where I'm from is not at all simple, mostly because I have made it complicated. When I'm traveling, which is frequent, and someone asks me where I'm from, it's my cue to start the geography and personal history lesson. I live in Cincinnati, but I'm from Kentucky originally. Northern Kentucky, that is, which is just across the river, so it's different from the rest of Kentucky. More like Cincinnati, except even more conservative. It's so much oddly specific information they didn't ask for, no doubt. They were anticipating I would just say, Milwaukee? You? Yet, it's an answer I nearly always give. My other answers to small talk questions are simple. What do you do? I'm a writer. Do you have kids? Yes, a boy in sixth grade and a girl in fourth. I often hope the person asking doesn't add follow-up questions because the details feel tedious. But Kentucky? I want them to ask about that, to be surprised that I crossed a river, or that the bluegrass is part of me, or that Ohio and Kentucky are like puzzle pieces they paid no mind to before. I've thought a lot about why I offer so much explanation, and I've decided it's because the older I get, the more I appreciate messy edges. I'm interested less in those spaces where things are the deepest, densest versions of themselves, and more in the spaces comprised of some of this and some of that, because the margins are often the most curious part, the borders, the drips and crumbs and seam allowances, where things come together without aligning perfectly, and you tug and borrow and blend. I am this and I am that, and it needn't make sense. I am more than Midwestern anonymity, but I am not a Kentucky cliche. I am deeply proud to be from Northern Kentucky, but I cannot stomach its politics. I adore Wendell Berry's poem, The Peace of Wild Things, but I would prefer to be 5 minutes away from a Starbucks at all times. I will never forget the joy of the Kentucky State Fair, but also this. After a long Louisville day smelling manure and oohing and awing over handmade dresses and cakes, I could just make out the skyline of downtown Cincinnati from our tiny porch outside the kitchen door. And now how it works. Local government. Kentucky. Each northern Kentucky county has a fiscal court featuring a county judge slash executive who manages the legislative and executive branches, and three county commissioners who represent each county's three districts. Cincinnati. Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley and city council members establish citywide policies, while city manager Patrick Duhaney oversees day-to-day operations. Now on to this or that. Whether you're a steadfast Buckeye or true blue Kentuckian, we've got your guide to exploring the other side of the river based on things you already love about your home turf by Kevin Schultz. Longtime classic restaurant. In Cincinnati, it's Arnold's Bar and Grill downtown. In northern Kentucky, it's Pompilio's in Newport. Local brewery. In Cincinnati, Rheingeist Brewery over the Rhine. Northern Kentucky, Braxton Brewing Company in Covington. Wine bar with food. In Cincinnati, Unwind Wine Bar in Hyde Park. In northern Kentucky, it's Ripple Wine Bar in Covington. Beautiful, historic places of worship. In Cincinnati, the Isaac M. Wise Temple downtown. In northern Kentucky, St. Mary's Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption in Covington. River adjacent watering hole. In Cincinnati, Cabana on the River, Sailor Park. In northern Kentucky, Riverside Marina in Dayton. Park with a view. In Cincinnati, Eden Park, Mount Adams. In northern Kentucky, DeVue Park in Covington. Racetrack. In Cincinnati, it's Belterra Park in Anderson Township, and in northern Kentucky, it's Turfway Park in Florence. Concert venue in a former theater. Cincinnati, Woodward Theater over the Rhine. Northern Kentucky, the Madison Theater in Covington. Local museum. In Cincinnati, it would be the Museum Center in the West End. And in northern Kentucky, it would be the Barringer Crawford Museum in Covington. And educational farm. In Cincinnati, it would be the Turner Farm in Indian Hill. And in northern Kentucky, it would be Sun Rock Farm in Wilder. Next, we turn to making the grade. Education in Ohio and Kentucky has its share of challenges, but we're putting the spotlight on successes. By Kara Hagerman. Schools nationwide are plagued with many of the same concerns: lack of funding, low teacher pay, rigorous testing requirements, and school safety. As Ohio and Kentucky face those challenges, along with state-specific issues, pension crisis in Kentucky, criticism of changes to Ohio's state report card grading system, it's worth focusing on some recent achievements and innovative new programs in both states. College readiness. According to U.S. News and World Report's 2019 ranking of best public high schools, the top three high schools in Ohio are right here in Cincinnati: Walnut Hills High School, Wyoming High School, and Indian Hill High School. In Northern Kentucky, Highlands High School and Beechwood High School landed in the top 10. Why the high rankings? At Indian Hill, 85% of students took an AP exam, and 81% of those passed. 27 AP courses are offered. At Highlands, students can choose from 24 AP courses. 91% took an exam, and 73% of them passed. While the Ohio schools ranked higher nationally, these stats indicate both student populations are prepared for college. STEM learning. It's become more than just a buzzword. STEM education, science, technology, engineering, or STEAM, adding arts, is now an integral part of the curriculum for every student. In Kentucky, the newly opened Ignite Institute is the only school of its kind in the region. The innovative trade school in a former Toyota lab in Erlanger focuses on STEAM careers for Boone County, Kenton County, and Walton Verona students as they study engineering or computer or biomedical science. Students can also develop relationships with local businesses for mentorship. Gifted instruction. Gifted students are traditionally underserved in the public school population. Cincinnati Public Schools recognized the need for gifted instruction and opened the Spencer Center for Gifted and Exceptional Students in 2017. Eligible students, those who test as gifted or exceptional on the Iowa Assessment and the Cognitive Abilities Test, have access to a rigorous curriculum serving their individual needs. Spencer currently accommodates 340 students in grades 3 through 10, with their first senior class graduating in 2022. Now, another how it works. Public transport systems. In Kentucky, the Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky provides bus and shuttle transportation to Boone, Campbell, and Kenton counties, as well as part of downtown Cincinnati. Cincinnati, the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, manages metro buses that service the city and suburbs. The city will take over the Cincinnati Bell Connector streetcar, which follows a 3.6-mile loop through downtown and over the Rhine. Next up, Christian Gill, executive chef at Boomtown Biscuits and Whiskey in Pendleton. Christian Gill originally settled on the northern Kentucky side of the river, but work and other life events led him to move downtown. Why did you make the Cross River move? Boomtown had just opened in the spring, and I just wanted to be closer to work. I had won Guy's Grocery Games, but I hadn't received the winnings yet, and I couldn't buy my car, so I needed to be as close to work as possible. What do you think is the biggest difference? The feeling of separation. The thing I liked the most about living in Northern Kentucky was once I crossed the river, I felt like, if it was a bad day, you could say bye to it. And I'm a sucker for the skyline, so I like driving toward that every day. Which side would you say you have more of a connection to? I'm from Kentucky, so I feel like I have more of a connection there. We're stubborn about it. I just changed my license last week, and I've been in Cincinnati for 7 years. How does being involved in both communities affect your sense of place? Owning a restaurant in Cincinnati makes me feel more embraced and a part of the community. Even though Cincinnati is huge and the neighborhoods are all over, they are still tied together and you still know everyone. Covington felt very divided in that way. Next, we'll turn to the battle of OTR and Covington. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the fight you've all been waiting for. Tonight, we'll decide who is superior, over the Rhine or Covington. It's a rivalry more than 2 centuries in the making, so we're in for a hell of a show. These two communities are on fire. The social hubs of their respective sides of the river, each is fueled by startup incubators and accelerators, awe-inspiring architecture, and cutting-edge restaurants. OTR is riding high on publicity from the New York Times and Forbes, but Covington, scrappy and unpredictable, is a mighty contender. The fans are jammed into the arena formerly known as U.S. Bank. OTR gets trendier and younger by the minute, but the pioneers are here too, those who stuck with the neighborhood through the riots and the period of disinvestment. The Covington side is a bit rowdier with their Covington Street Hockey League and signature mullets, along with all the bartenders and townies from Main Strasse, parishioners from Mother of God Church, and gargoyles from the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption made it. Amerasia staff members are handing out free egg rolls, drooling. But enough with the crowd. Let's introduce the contestants. Both come from a mashed-up background of German, Irish, African-American, American Indian, and Appalachian descent. Covington recently found out through 23andMe that it's part Latino. First in the ring is Covington. What a rebel, carrying the stolen goat cutout from the city's parklet. Doesn't take itself too seriously, though. It's been classing it up lately with the addition of businesses like the boutique Hotel Covington. Wearing a nicotine patch. Nice work. Must be hard given its history with tobacco factories. Here comes over the Rhine. Look at that bling. 10 years ago, OTR couldn't have afforded it. There are some big sponsors in its corner. 3CDC, Kroger, Procter & Gamble, Fifth Third Bank, and Tucker's Restaurant, which fed OTR when money was tight. What a costume. Fiona Cincy shirt and lederhosen, carrying a paintbrush for all the murals. Wonder what's in that Finley Market bag. And it's go time. The ref blows the whistle. OTR lunges in. Smaller than Covington, which is an actual city with 19 neighborhoods and 27 times the land size. But OTR is agile, stomping on Covington's foot and putting it in a headlock. The crowd chants, "Scovington, Scovington," an oldie but goodie insult from back in the day. Covington doesn't like it, shaking up a Braxton vibe and spraying it into OTR's eyes before landing a backhanded chop. OTR is on its knees, and Covington has one arm twisted behind OTR's back. But wait, OTR is reaching into the Finley bag with its free hand and pulls out a turkey leg from Lukens. Swinging the foul like a club, OTR uppercuts Covington in the chin. OTR is barreling toward Covington now, but Covington dives away and regains a fighting stance. "You're displacing people," Covington growls. "A low blow. You're just jealous of our population density," OTR shoots back. A baby cries in the audience, grabbing the fighter's attention. The woman sitting next to the child holds a sign that says, "This is a space for everybody." She's from Peasley Neighborhood Center in OTR. Covington and OTR look at the sign and then at one another. They agree that no matter your race, sexual preference, or socioeconomic status, you should have a home in their neighborhoods if you want it. "I like being Covington," Covington says. "It's not for everyone, but it's for me." "Me too," says OTR. "I'm not perfect, but what is?" "Truce," they say in unison, and shake. "Let's use our strength for good and challenge global warming and gerrymandering," says OTR. "But first, want a three-way?" "How about Geta?" replies Covington. They agree to disagree and head home, high-fived out of the stadium by a stunned and strangely satisfied crowd. And our last, how it works, smoking in public. Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't enacted a statewide ban on smoking inside public places, but counties, including Kenton, have passed ordinances that prohibit smoking in public buildings and workplaces, with exemptions for private clubs and bars. Cincinnati. In November 2006, Ohioans voted in favor of the Smoke-Free Workplace Act, which went into effect that December and bans smoking inside all public places, including restaurants, bars, and workplaces. And our last article, what about cuisine? As told to Kaylee Payton. Northern Kentucky. Chris Burns, chef owner, Commonwealth Bistro in Covington. Kentucky cuisine is derived from a number of cultural influences. Even though we're so far north, we're still a southern state, so there's some tradition there that we don't always see in Cincinnati. Some of the stereotypical ones are Derby food. Southern staples derived from that. Pimento cheese, Benedictine, mint juleps, all that stuff. I think that speaks to some of that Southern culture. But there's also this kind of underlying, how do I put this, mountain cuisine. It's this rural, grassroots food that I really enjoy exploring. Culturally, there are a lot of different factors that influenced our cuisine. Obviously, for the northernmost parts of our state, it was the river trade. There were things as early as the 1800s where you're seeing desserts in old menus, like floating islands, which obviously weren't begot from indigenous people of the region or any of the early settlers. In Cincinnati, Brad Bernstein, chef owner, Red Feather, Oakley, and Postmark Clifton. "We have a strong French, German, Greek, and Italian influence. It really does stem from being a melting pot. being a location where families came and ended up settling, and they've been able to develop and grow. That extends into Kentucky, but I think it's always had a more homely approach, whereas Cincinnati is a little more refined. The business district of downtown really made us compete on a national scale. I look at the Orchids space as this magical location that takes you back to the 1920s and expresses what the city center was like then and how commerce was driven. Covington was more workmanlike. It didn't get that refinement until much later. Kentucky's bourbon and distilling has made it into Ohio, and the German-influenced beer culture of Cincinnati has spread to Kentucky. Our Porkopolis and river commerce history, being a huge port before the railroads were built, have always tied us together. And on that note, we conclude the cover story for the November issue, Cincinnati versus Kentucky. We'll end today's reading with squirrel sighting. If you've ever driven through Glendale, you've likely noticed the colorful 4-foot-tall squirrel statues scattered throughout the 1.7-square-mile village. What purpose do these larger-than-life squirrels serve? They pay homage to Glendale's black squirrel population, which emerged in the 1940s thanks to Thomas Carruthers III, a local businessman who brought 4 black squirrels to Glendale from Harbor Springs, Michigan. The squirrels have since become the village's unofficial mascot. To celebrate Glendale's sesquicentennial in 2005, then-Mayor Thomas Todd hired the same company that manufactured Cincinnati's Big Pig Gig and Frisch's Big Boy statues to create a fiberglass black squirrel, which local business owners could order, decorate, and display. In total, 25 squirrel statues were on view in 2005, and 13 can still be spotted today, including the firefighter squirrel outside the Glendale Fire Department. The remaining 12 were either relocated to private property or sold. "People come to Glendale to see them all the time," says Walter Cordes, the village administrator. To catch Glendale's real black squirrels, Cordes suggests driving along Fountain Avenue, where there's an abundance of mature nut and fruit-bearing trees. Squirrel sighting brought to us by Katie Coburn. And now we are finally out of time for today's broadcast. This is Donna Shapley thanking you again for joining me today, and please come back next week when we'll have more from the November issue of Cincinnati Magazine.